Wealth and Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to host this call for you each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. This call is in process right now of being officially recorded and will be available for playback in Podomatic tomorrow at 12 Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. For those of you who were on the call last week or were not on the call last week, that call was recorded with the great Brian Tracy. Brian is an exceptional human being. That call is recorded and available for playback. Brian is one of the many people I've had the privilege of interviewing on this call over a 19-year period. And I want to be able to continue to bring some great guests to this call. Over the last several years, I've interviewed the great Jim Rohn, Mark Victor Hansen, Dr. Joe Dispenza on numerous occasions, Susan Sly recently, and I have a whole array of guests that will be speaking for me in the next several months. Next Tuesday night, I will have Alexis Romano. 2 weeks later, I'll have her sister, Tara Romano. I've had many people from many walks of life in the past several years. Jennifer Trinkner, another exceptional businesswoman. Dawn Ferrantino, another exceptional businesswoman, who are superstars in the network marketing and direct sales industry. Coming up for interviews in the near future will be John Assaraf, just to name another one of the top tier neuroscientists that I've had the privilege of collaborating and connecting with. And I know many of you on tonight's call aspire to be a guest on this call. That unequivocally can happen as you let your results do the talking for you. I'm right now in negotiation with a 3-day event in Orlando, Florida, where I'll be looking for some speakers to fill that event with a gentleman who reached out to me. I'll be sharing the stage with Mark Victor Hansen, among many other speakers. So there's many, many opportunities for you in Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, and I want to thank you for being longtime fans, short for fanatic, followers, friends, collaborators, and people who have consistently dialed into this call. I have an exceptional call tonight called How to Be Able to Get Your Point Across in 30 Seconds or Less. Now, on my desk is a book that I purchased in the late 80s called How to Get Your Point Across in 30 Seconds or Less by the great Milo Frank. And I'm going to cover some content not only from that book, but from my own insight and inner game of how important it is to be clear, how to be concise, how to be able to deliver a message in a relatively short period of time conducive to an outcome that you are seeking. The average attention span of the average person is a very short window, and you want to be able to deliver your message. I'm going to cover some announcements in a very quick forum as I get my point across, and we'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This Saturday, I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts at the Hilton Airport Hotel at Logan Airport. Now, that is a top-tier location. I want to thank my guest, Abby O'Neill, who has almost single-handedly sold that event out towards standing room only. On May 6th, I will be in one of my hometowns, Kansas City, Missouri, the beautiful city that's split by the Missouri River. I'll be there with Kaylin Hobbs, who is hosting that event. And she is absolutely an exceptional producer and a top-tier woman who is really breaking through the production code this year. On May 20th, I'll be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with Joe DiBianca, Dawn Ferrantino, and myself. That also will be a standing room only event. June 3rd, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. June 17th, I'll be in Marina Del Rey. June 24th, Walnut Creek, California, which is my backyard. That is right outside of the city by the bay, San Francisco. Long Island, I'll be July 8th. July 15th, La Jolla, California. I just added Atlanta, Georgia to the roster. And August 5th, I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, hosting the Millionaire Blueprint with Tara Romano, Susan Sly, and Jennifer Trinkner. That will be from 12 to 4. That will be an exceptional event. Now, we've typically had anywhere from 500 to 1,200 people at those events when we've had them in Dallas or when we've had them in San Diego. We've also had them in Palm Springs, California. So we have a room in Bally's Hotel that will be a great venue. If you are seeking coaching or insight how to let go, separate your feelings from the events that shape them, enhance your ability to communicate and connect, enhance your ability to sell, build a brand, articulate your feelings into words, I unequivocally assist you to do that in a 15-minute forum or a little more if you are committed and or serious. I offer 15-minute coaching sessions, provided you at least have some interest or some commitment to at some point hiring me to be your coach. If you want to test drive my coaching, find out more about that, feel free to contact me on Facebook with your phone number, and within 24 hours, I will personally return your call and schedule an appointment for you so I can give you some great insight on how to improve your inner game. Once again, send me a message on Facebook with your phone number. With that, I will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This is one of my favorite topics, how to be able to get your point across in 30 seconds or less. Now, fortunately for me, when I was picking a degree out of the hat at Northwest Missouri State University, a state college about 2 hours north of Kansas City, Missouri, I arrived on that campus as a junior in college. I attended a junior college my first 2 years, where I played basketball and received an associate art degree, and I did not have a major picked out. My junior year, I decided to major in radio and television with a minor in graphic layout, design, and journalism. I took over 130 credit hours getting my degree, and a lot of that degree was focused on being able to get your point across, being able to articulate feelings into words, improving the ability to articulate feelings not only into words, but being able to announce the words and understanding the 30-second message. Early in my career, I started writing television content and radio content specifically for advertisements for a national public radio station and then a public station that we had right on campus. And I became very proficient in understanding that commercials 30 seconds in length are a direct reflection of the attention span of the average person. Now, some people, you can hold their attention for 45 seconds, some 2 minutes, but most of society has a relatively short attention span, and it's imperative, important, and you want to be able to deliver a message with clarity so you feel that you are heard and people understand what you mean. To be able to do that, you have to let go of your anxieties about outcomes that you typically avoid to avoid failing. A large percent of the American, Canadian, Australian populace tend to go into an overwhelmed state, avoiding the outcome because of the anxiety in the story they tell themselves. A large percent of society avoids failing, and then they're not clear in their message, they're not articulate, they'll use statements like guess, kinda, sorta. It's amazing how many people say guess mid-sentence, kinda, K-I-N-D-A, which isn't even a word. It's actually two slang words put together that the American populace uses frequently, which is not clarity. To be able to be heard, it's important that you're clear with your message. But if you're overwhelmed, in doubt, in anxiety, you will have challenges articulating your feelings into words. Now, if you grew up in a household where there were passive-aggressive perpetrators, passive-aggressive people, you had trauma, situations in your household, addictions, there's a high probability that your body started running your brain. If you lived in an overwhelmed state, it means that before you even engaged or entered into the kitchen or wherever it is you entered from, there's a high probability you were already overwhelmed. That overwhelmed state creates an anxiety that oftentimes becomes an identity. If you have challenges with gaps and delays in your communication, gaps and delays means you and ah throughout your sentences. If someone asks you a question and you check out and you have to think about what to say because you don't trust your feelings, based on events where you may have gotten in trouble, made a mistake, got reprimanded, and if you come from a place that you don't want to be rejected or abandoned, you don't want to offend someone, this becomes a mixed message that most people telegraph emotionally, and then it shows up in their communication style. Now, if you're in a business that requires sales, marketing, branding, connecting, and collaboration, it's not only important, but it becomes imperative that you become skilled at articulating your feelings into words, into sentence structures where you're able to move a conversation along. Hence the term, the questions in a sequence. Being able to ask the questions in a sequence, meaning you're able to fact find, rapport build, connect with people, collaborate, close a sale, create a transaction, be able to move a product, good, service, or sell the dream to someone who you're able to connect with. Now, many people get this, they get so overwhelmed about this, I haven't, so I can't. I haven't been successful, so I can't communicate with someone who is. I haven't released any weight, so I can't tell anyone about my product, services, benefits, or features. I have very low energy, so I can't market my energy products. This means you begin to personalize the situation, make it about yourself, keeps you overwhelmed, and once again, your message is not clear. To be able to have a clear message is to be able to have a system to articulate your feelings into words, a method, a routine, the repetition and the experience, creating a 10,000-hour habit so that you change your auto-suggestion. If you automatically check out, go into an overwhelmed state in an outer body experience before you even communicate, it takes about 3 to 8 seconds in that reaction to be able to formulate the words to start the sentence. A large percent of the population uses the sound followed by a preposition to answer questions. This is very ineffective communication style. In the 60,000 one-on-one hours that I have coached, in the 19-plus years that I've been coaching, in the 12,000 clients, a high percent, 80 to 90%, has sentence structures that is unclear, in an overwhelmed state. Doubt shows up frequently by the word guess mid-sentence. Be attentive in the next couple days and watch how many Americans use the word guess mid-sentence. Watch how many Americans use the sounds kind of in a sentence structure, telegraphing the doubt that they are in. Now, the type of person that does not do that is typically the kind of person that you'd have much more of a higher probability of joining your business, being able to receive the value of your product, services, benefits, and features, will decide emotionally, not logically, can decide relatively quickly, and will tend to be more committed. Now, if you have challenges articulating your feelings, it's also you're telegraphing your commitment phobic issues. And if you're commitment phobic, you'll have challenges being able to be and stay committed one day at a time over a long career. And if you have those situations, it's time that you're able to separate your feelings from the events that shape them. So once again, the attention span of the average person is 28 to 31 seconds. That means in a 30-second message, there's usually 3 increments of time, 3 10-second increments. That means the introduction. That means then there's the body of the communication. Then there's the call to action, or the end of the conversation, or the end of a sentence that ends with a question where you move the conversation along. This becomes very effective communication. If you ever get the opportunity or have the opportunity to speak at a chamber meeting or a mixer or a meetup group, or you're at any type of situation where you're able to deliver a keynote of anywhere from 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, or 5 minutes, then you better be clear what your message is. You want to have a better understanding of the outcome that you seek to create before you start. And as you begin to do that, you'll have much more clarity in the way you communicate. You'll be able to deliver your message and be able to share your meaning. It's not just what you say, it's what you mean. In that kind of clarity, you want to be able to be clear in how you articulate your feelings into words. What does that mean? It means that you trust your feelings enough that you let go of the control of making mistakes. You're not overwhelmed about the outcome of what hasn't happened. And as you begin to trust your feelings, you're able to be in a very relaxed, released body where you're able to connect, communicate, and collaborate. And you're able to transmute your warmth. You're able to transmute your consciousness. You're not coming from anxiety, which is anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. So there's a psychology of asking as well as a psychology of answering. So what does that mean? It means the large percent of society, TTMs, they talk too much. Most of society is so checked out when you ask them a question, they don't actually answer the question. They tell you what they thought they heard, and most of the times, they didn't hear what you meant. many of the times people will answer unrelated completely to the very question that you ask, and it's going to be your responsibility to be able to interrupt that communication by using the person's name so you can keep the conversation moving. This is how you get your point across, by being clear in the questions you ask, clear in the way you answer the questions. That's what clarity is. It means you're on point, on purpose. You're not direct. Your objective is not to ask direct questions. Your objective is to ask clear questions so the meaning is meant, so the people understand, the prospect, the person you're communicating with, understands what you mean. Now, you also will find out that a large percent of the population will repeat your questions because they're not really listening. And when you encounter this type of person, be attentive to how frequently they do that. Now, when you're called upon at a meetup group, or you're called upon by your company, or you're called upon by your culture to deliver a keynote or to deliver a speech, or you have the opportunity to share the floor, be on stage, and your company asks you to be able to deliver a message, well, there's a way that is done. First of all, you want to be able to understand and have an idea of the outcome you seek. The way you set your feet is also important, so that you're balanced in your feet. If you're right-handed, your left foot should lead your right foot, so that your right foot is at the instep of your left foot. That means your left foot is your plant foot, your right foot is your move foot. You also want to be able to lift your heel on your right foot if you're right-handed. That gives you flexibility so you can move your hips. Your power and your energy emanates from your abdomen, from the diaphragm of your stomach. Many people get so overwhelmed, they move up into their upper chest, and they're speaking from their voice box and their larynx, and they inhibit their ability to be heard and meant. And they shut off the flow, the qi gong, the energy. Your diaphragm, where you want to be able to speak, is from your lower abdomen. That's where your energy is. That's where your sexual transmutation is. Your voice is also going to be a direct reflection of your tone. 37% of how we connect with people is our tone. On your tongue are seven different individual places called glottals and diphthongs. That's how you enunciate the word. That's the tone, and that's also the diction, when you're able to come from in the inflection. Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. A large percent of the population answers questions with uh-huh, a series of sounds that are not words. That's definitely not how you get your point across in 30 seconds or less. When you're able to get your point across in 30 seconds or less, you have to be able to have an objective. Who is your listening audience? You want to be able to have an approach that's effective in that communication that you're, when you're communicating in 30 seconds or less or more, whatever the time frame is. You want to, just like in a song, there's a jingle, there's a hook. It means that there's a place in that communication that you're able to set the purpose. The reason I'm calling you, what I seek to deliver to you today, the point that I want to get across to the listening audience today is, and then you deliver that. So when you have a, when you're speaking with a time frame, you have an introduction, you have a body, and then you have an exit. Now, many speakers who you've seen on stage, they're edified by a host. The host, and they get a standing ovation or an ovation. Then the speaker moves in to the delivery. In any type of message, there's a delivery. That's the body. You're able to deliver the message. You're able to drive a point home. You're able to get your point across. You're able to connect with an audience. At the Dr. Joe Dispenza event a week ago last Saturday in the Meadowlands, New Jersey, it was very interesting. Dr. Joe did not use his PowerPoints immediately. Now, usually he uses PowerPoints, but in that audience, he determined that was a very connectable audience. He walked very gracefully down from the stage and delivered most of the first three quarters of his content on the carpet in the middle of the room. And then consistently he would ask, "Are you with me?" That means he was asking a question to engage the audience. That's a very skilled technique to keep an audience moving. He would create a point and say, "Are you with me? Are you with me?" That means he was having people nod their head. Instead of nodding off, they were nodding their head. He was asking a question. Questions are 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. Unfortunately, a large percent of society has no periods in their sentences when they communicate, and it's one long drunkalogue. A drunkalogue is a 12-step term of people who, when they get their opportunity to share at a meeting, they go on and on and on and on and on. Now, if you're one of these people that go on and on and on, and you've been conditioned to behave in that manner, I'm suggesting that after tonight's communication and after tonight's call, you have a better understanding of how to articulate your feelings into words in a condensed forum, because you begin to understand that people check out on you. When someone asks you, how long have you been in this company, tell them, I've been in this company for 9 months. Are you serious about looking at this company? That means you answered the question with the statement, followed with the question. That's called a U-turn, so you can redirect the energy back into your conversation. Now, your objective is not to control the conversation. Your objective is, if you're prospecting, is to be able to qualify the prospect for your benefits, your features, your services, your time, and you want to be able to see if they have any dreams. And in that type of communication, you should be able to ask questions in 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 seconds or less. Many people get lost by telling the story. They think that they have to do a presentation rather than a qualification. Now, when you are presenting, your presentation should not go on and on and on. If you ever do a home party, a launch party, or any situation like that, it should not be a two-hour ordeal. It should be an introduction, a presentation, a call to action, a wrap-up, and then a close. You should be able to do this in 30, 45, 1 minute, 1 hour and 15 minutes, 1.5, whatever it is, but it should be a relatively routine that you start to develop by doing the repetition and the experience. One of the most common anxieties that people have is fear of speaking. The number one anxiety is fear of death. That means that many people the number one cause of people being overwhelmed is because they feel they're going to be rejected. Between dying and speaking, many people have a great deal of anxiety. And you're not going to die when you're going to speak, and you're not going to embarrass yourself unless you create the very situation that you seek to avoid. So when you start to understand how to clearly ask questions, that's when you start to engage people, the rules of engagement. When you're engaging, you're asking questions, you're fact-finding, you're rapport building. I oftentimes ask my audience, what would you like me to cover for you specifically today? I insert the word specific. That's an unconscious word, so that people can be clear. If you want to guide people and persuade people, then you must learn to use persuasive words and techniques in your communication style. Unfortunately, very few people ever take their speaking career, their writing career, their prospecting career, their business career, to a level of professionalism. Most people stay amateurs because they wing it. They have so much anxiety about an outcome, they don't ever move into the rules of engagement. They don't ever really move in to enhancing the skills, the habits, and the mindset that will allow them to be a professional. And they don't have clearly defined short-term goals. There's not a 90-day game plan or a daily method that they operate in. That means that most people wing it. They're not methodical. They're not systemized. They're not organized. And they're not attentive to the details. If you seek to develop a free enterprise business from the comfort of your home, you have to be able to master your emotions so you can master the moving parts of the business. And one of the most key components that you learn to do is how to articulate your feelings into words by the way you ask questions and the way you answer questions. Now, if you ever get the opportunity to deliver a keynote speech for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute, or 2 minutes at a meetup group, you want to be able to state your name, where you're from, the purpose of why you're there today, and you want to be able to say a little bit about who you are, what you do, and your value proposition. Thank the audience, and if you want to get back with me or find out more about me, feel free to connect with me. If you're speaking at an event, it's the same situation. For those of you who are committed, those of you who are serious, at the break, feel free to come up to me and meet me back at my decision table at the back of the room. Now, I use the word decision table because I want people to come back there and decide. When someone picks up my books at my table, I let them know this is not the library. This is not the looky-loo portion of where you are. This is the decision table. If you're here to buy, not here to look. Now, I do this very diplomatically in a forum that someone will put the book down, because people who typically put the book up at my decision table are looking, they're not buying. And I typically don't want that person standing right in front of it blocking traffic looking when someone is there to buy. I mean, this is how attentive, how aware you become, and how you start to understand the inner game of your enterprise. If you're on an elevator with someone and they have a bag, one of the first things you can do is look down at their bag and see if they have a bag tag. If they have a bag tag, their name might be there. You can find out a little bit about what their city. That's being aware. By that situation, you can also ask someone in an elevator, you create small talk. How are you today? Where are you from? You staying here at the hotel? I mean, that's an obvious question. What brings you to the hotel? I mean, these are very easy questions to ask. I stay at hotels where pilots stay frequently, and airline hostesses and stewardesses stay. I encounter a lot of pilots in the elevators. They're obviously captains, so I address them by captain. What airline do you fly? Now, if they're a United pilot, I'm going to let them know I'm a 2-million-mile flyer. I gauge the response. That's in engaging. That's what you learn to do, is in engaging, you're able to gauge the response by the communication that you deliver. You ask a question. How are you today, Captain? Are you a United pilot? Who do you fly for? I mean, American, Delta, JetBlue, Virgin. I've flown on most all of them. So I'm also going to have some comeback line where I can keep the communication moving forward. I've virtually met people in an elevator before they got off the elevator. I've been able to receive their phone number by asking for it. You cannot GET what you do not ASK for. To be able to GET, to get or receive, you must be comfortable in asking. In the 30-second message, you also want to be able to develop a level of comfortability about who you are, what your purpose is, and the outcome you seek. Unfortunately, what many people do is they JFWI. They just frickin' wing it. And that's not going to get you to the land of promise or not going to allow you to be able to make it through the jungle. What happens to many people, they don't ever take their profession seriously. They try and wing it from an overwhelmed state. They go to seminar after seminar after seminar, but they don't ever take the knowledge and put it into practical application that creates a result. And you want to be able to be very skilled at this process, because that skilled process will allow you to write this underneath your name, professional. Until you can write professional, you will be and stay an amateur. So there's a whole method to asking a question. You use someone's first name followed by a comma with a space. The purpose of why I'm reaching out to you. That's if you're making a phone call. Or the purpose of my call. The reason I'm calling you. It means you're stating the purpose. And you're also able to ask trial close questions throughout a conversation. Have you ever considered? Are you in a position that? I mean, this is how you ask these types of questions. So this is very imperative when you're getting your point across. So if I'm sitting next to someone on an airplane, my objective is not to sit there and tell them everything about me. My objective is to be able to see if I can create a relaxed conversation with the person next to me. Seldom, if ever, do people on the plane communicate with me in first class. Most of them automatically go to sleep. I sit in first class about 40 to 50 times a year as I'm flying. Occasionally I'll meet someone that's interesting. Most of the time the person's checked out. I'm very attentive to who sits in front of me, behind me, to the left of me, to the right of me. I mean, I'm attentive. That's what you do when you're a business owner. You don't pay attention. It's not something you buy. It's being attentive. I recently sat next to someone that was able to interview. She was from Puerto Rico. She was visiting someone in the Bay Area. She spent about 35 minutes putting her makeup on in first class. She was very detailed, very articulate. She was very well put together. She was an accountant. She was anxious about moving to the United States. She was obviously meeting someone that she was dating. I mean, I was able to pick up on this, and I could tell very quickly she wasn't that interested in having a conversation with me. I found all this out in about 2 minutes. No eye contact, no warmth. Her answers were very perfunctionary. I was able to determine very quickly she wasn't open to a conversation. She wasn't rejecting me. She wasn't abandoning me. She was not interested. And so it wasn't a communication that was going to go anywhere. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to read that situation for what it is, then you don't waste your most valuable commodity, time. So when you are answering questions. It's also important that when you answer a question, you don't go into a long dissertation with a lot of details. A great attorney or a great police officer will tell you that many people would not go to jail if they would just answer the question. Unfortunately, many people, when ask a question, give up too much information. Learn to answer the question based on what is asked. That means you must also have auditory skills, the ability to hear what's meant, not what is said. So articulating your feelings into words. I've said that about 10 times in tonight's call. Here's what that means from my perspective. It means that you're able to clearly answer a question, have a conversation, ask a question in a relatively short period of time so that you can move the conversation along. Where are you from originally? I was born in Corning, Iowa, went to high school at South Page High School in College Springs, Iowa. Now, that was less than 30 seconds. Now, where am I from? Where are you from? That's your perception on where you are from. Now, that they didn't say, where's your hometown, where are you born? I did give up that information. They didn't say, where'd you go to high school? I'm originally from Corning, Iowa. That's right outside of Omaha, Nebraska. If I wanted to add that detail, that would be less than 30 seconds, and I could use a U-turn and say, where are you from originally? Where did you go to high school? Did you go to college in the Midwest? Would you get your degree in? What have you done for most of your career? Is that a good career for you? See, now I'm asking questions in less than 10, 15 seconds, and I'm able to effectively fact find and rapport build in this situation. Now, in a keynote, when you're doing a keynote, it's a different situation. You want to have an outline of what you want to cover. You want to be able to read the audience for what it is. Just the same situation when you're prospecting, fact-finding, communicating with someone. You want to be able to read the person for what you perceive them to be. Are they energetic? Are they warm? Are they friendly? Are they cold? Are they aloof? Are they checked out? Are they checked in? Do they smile? I mean, these are situations, these are body language signals that you pick up on by being attentive, being present, being in the now, in the know. I was able to effectively ask Dr. Joe Dispenza several questions two Fridays ago when I took him to dinner at a restaurant called Da Bonito. Now, he was a fascinating man because of his content. I asked him a lot of content that I wanted some clarity on, and he delivered, and he also delivers in relatively short communication style. Now, there's people who communicate in a very aloof style, or there are people who are very effective in their communication style. People who give you the one-word answers, and you can tell they're in unresolved anger or resentment, they're not connectable. But the person who can communicate and you can move a conversation along, that's the kind of person that you want to be connected with. You also can tell someone who's very skilled when being interviewed because they're aware of the host asking questions. Now, when I'm interviewed, I don't go into long dissertations about the questions that I'm asked. Now, I will sometimes spend some time, a minute, 2, 3 minutes. When Susan Sly interviews me, then I pass it back to her so that she can ask me several questions. If you've ever heard me ask questions on this call, I've sometimes had to interrupt people because they just keep going on and on and on and on. So it's not an interview. It becomes I ask one question, then the rest of the floor is taken. When I'm interviewing people to see if I can bring out the best value from my speaker for the specific listening audience that I have the speaker for. So I'm attentive to what's going on in my audience. I'm aware of what's going to bring them the best value. So I'm going to ask them the kinds of questions that will lead to that outcome. Now, when you're able to do that, then you're able to effectively get your point across. You're able to take your host and have them add value to the audience by the questions you ask. That's how you're getting the point across, by asking the questions. You're bringing the best value and the best service, and it creates the best warmth and the best continuity in a situation like that in an interview. And it's important that you get very skilled at asking those questions. Now, here's another situation. Many people have challenges asking the question. They start, or they have challenges answering the question, because they start with an answer, then they go down a rabbit hole. So I consistently say, answer the question, please. And people don't get offended by doing that. They actually gets them back on track Because, as I said, many people get so overwhelmed, they forget the question that you ask, then they're off to the races, they're down the rabbit hole, because they're in an outer body experience, not being or paying attention, not being attentive or paying attention. You can create a lot of mileage by being extremely effective at asking the question. Listen to what is said, not as meant. This is a very key component in communication. When someone says to you, yeah, I'll get back to you, you have to be able to discern what that actually means. Usually it means that they're not interested, and usually it means they're telling you what they think you want to hear so they can exit the conversation. This is not someone you would typically pursue, follow up with, or schedule another appointment with based on the energy and the communication style and the way they come across. It's your responsibility, the ability to respond, to read the situation from what it is so you can hear what's meant, not only what is said. So as you're articulating your feelings into words, it means that you become clear. You become very effective. You become engaging in the way you communicate with people. And you do it over and over and over, and it becomes auto-suggestion. It's autonomic. It becomes a new brain chemistry. You're unequivocally rewiring your brain. You're not concerned with making mistakes, getting in trouble, getting reprimanded. You're not concerned with being perfect. You're not concerned with failing. You're not concerned with being rejected, abandoned. You're not afraid you're going to make a mistake, get in trouble, or any multitude of situations and stories that you perpetuate to avoid failing. You can't possibly succeed while your energy is about, when you have anxiety about failing. It doesn't give you the latitude or the luxury to be able to develop the 10,000-hour habit over and over again so that what you do and who you're becoming is autonomic, automatic, auto-suggestion. Human beings are predictable. When you start to understand predictability, you unequivocally are in the driver's seat. You know now, and you're able to understand and read what's happening without doubting yourself. When you live in doubt, guess will show up frequently in your communication style. When someone says guess, I'll ask them, do you guess or do you know? They will oftentimes say, no, this is an NLP technique. You take a word in someone's sentence, and you will use that word, do you guess or do you know? That way that's an unconscious commitment that you're asking for without asking a commitment question. It's a very subtle way to use persuasion techniques to move the conversation along to an outcome that's favorable for you and the person that you are communicating with. When you start to understand how predictable people are, then you start to understand cause and effect, why people do what they do. When you learn how to let go, now you're separating your feelings from the outcome, so you become much more effective in your communication style. Oftentimes, I will create results with less time. When I'm asked to give a keynote at some events, sometimes I'm given 2 hours, an hour and a half, 45 minutes. Once in Louisville, Kentucky, I had 25 minutes in front of 3,000 people, and I was able, so in that kind of situation, I stated my name, or I was edified with my name, I came out, I was very clear on what that audience would require from me, I was able to deliver a message, I was able to close to market my package in 5 minutes or less, and I did double digits that day with 25 minutes, because in that situation, less was more. It means that I didn't have to hurry or I didn't have to rush. It means I was very clear on that one point that I was delivering. So I had a gentleman who wants to book me to do an event for 2,500 people today, and I asked him what times were available, what dates were available, because this is going to determine whether I'm going to speak or not. If he has the event on Sunday, I'm not doing it. My preference would be Friday, and I would want the noon speaking slot, the spot right before lunch. That means that I could leverage my weekend. It means I could produce on Friday, go home on Friday night or Saturday morning and be home and borrow a day to relax, recuperate, and enjoy. Because I was very clear on the outcome, I was able to negotiate exactly what I wanted. Now, when you're able to do that and you don't have anxiety about the outcome, you're not in guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, you're not in anxiety about making mistakes, then you become very clear in your communication style. Now, the gentleman I was asking these questions today, he was also a very good communicator, so I was able to go back and forth with him without an overlap or an interlude, and we went back and forth. We were on the telephone less than 10 minutes, And that's what you want to be able to do. So when you're prospecting someone, you should be able to prospect a lead anywhere from 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes maximum. When you're wrapping up an event, you should be able to wrap that event up in a relatively short period of time. If you ever attend my one-day events, I usually end at 3:45, 3:30, 4 o'clock. Seldom, if ever, do I go past 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30, 5 o'clock, unless there's multiple speakers on the bill, because I believe less as more. I want people to leave remembering the content, not exhausted from the content. If you ever attend my Breakthroughs to Success workshop, I do not hold people hostage until midnight, 10 o'clock. We do not go all night and all day. I don't want my clients going home exhausted. I want them going home inspired. Once again, this is a less is more situation. I have an exercise where I time how long someone gets to ask the group for assistance with a specific point so that it doesn't drag on and go out. I mean, I'm consistently teaching this skill, a sense of relaxed urgency. Now, urgency doesn't mean that it's urgent, it means that it's an energy, a relaxed urgency. It means that you're a multitasker. You're able to do more than one thing, able to do more than one situation at the same time. It means you're very skilled at multitasking. You're ambidextrous. You're able to articulate your feelings into words in a relatively short period of time. You're able to pick up on the back end of someone else's sentence. You hear the words they said. You move those words into your next sentence, into with the question, so you move the conversation along. This means asking the questions in a sequence. This is why being scripted doesn't always pan out, because sometimes the person will ask you a question off a script, or that you want to be able to take the answer from the question you ask, package one of the words from their answer, put it in a sentence, end it with the question, and continue to move the conversation along. Once again, this is how you get your point across very quickly, and this also means as you live in trust, intuition, you're a spiritual being, you're no longer in the mind-body connection connected to your anxieties, you're not in doubt, fear, shame, abandonment, rejection, you're living in a conscious, aware state in love, joy, bliss, and enlightenment, and in that kind of energy, you live in a know-now state. You know what you know, and you know it now, and as you live in the now, you're not in past regret or future anxiety. You are here and you are now. You are present. You're able to look at eye irises and read eye movements. You're able to read facial tics. You're able to hear the sounds of when you're asked a question. You're able to pick up on the words that are non-committal in communication. When you start to be this person, you unequivocally are in the now, in the know. And in that kind of energy, you're in no doubt. You are in the present. You are in the zone. In that kind of zone, your hands are definitely in the hands-free zone. You're not driving with your hands on the wheel. You're in the hands-free zone. That means that you've effectively crossed the bridge from anxiety to conscious awareness, and that you seldom will get overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, it's because you've been conditioned to behave that way. You may have grown up in an overwhelmed household. You had to take on roles that overwhelmed you. You lost your innocence due to a series of traumas and events. You have to be a caretaker for too many people. You live in an overwhelmed state. In an overwhelmed state, you cannot articulate your feelings into words. When you live in an overwhelmed state, you typically don't answer the questions. You start an answer, forget the question, and you're down the rabbit hole. And then you're off to the races talking because you didn't really hear the question number one. You didn't hear what was meant. This is most of society. When you understand this, you unequivocally are in the game. And when you're in the game, you'll pick up on the gaps and delays in people's communication style. You'll also hear how people validate, justify, and explain themselves. They don't answer the question. Oftentimes, people will tell you up front, my parents were really good people. It's amazing how people will protect people in their circle of influence that they had conflict with. Many people also tell you they had a great childhood, yet their life's a wreck. That would be a contradiction. Now, this doesn't mean it means what it means, but the more you understand how to ask the questions, how you hear what's meant, not said, you'll be able to effectively lead a conversation with persuasion. When you start to master these skills, your law of averages go way up. Also, people begin to show up frequently in your inboxes, in your email accounts. They show up in your LinkedIn accounts. Business cards begin to appear from nowhere. You have checks in the mail show up. Parking spaces are available to you. A whole new universe starts to be in your awareness. You start to be, you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety. You are you and you are free. Your energy and vibration raises and your attractor factor is enhanced. That's what happens in synchronicity. There's no separation between you and the outcome. That will happen frequently to you as you start to move into an arrive state. You're delivering, you're arriving. And you're able to, and so that's what happens when you're able to get your point across. You're able to deliver a message. You're able to deliver your point relatively quickly so people are able to understand where you're coming from. And it's in that kind of articulation when people understand you, they feel you, they understand where you're coming from, they want to connect with you because you are connectable, because you are one with, not separate from. When many people stand behind the glass and they tap on the glass, they go, I want to be out there, but you don't understand my situation. I want to be over there. I'm not where I should be. I'm right here. Well, you can't communicate like that and never get your point across. The most important person that you get your point across is to yourself. That will be a direct reflection of your self-talk. When you live in unresolved anger and in resentment, then you'll try and control conversations rather than be in command of conversations. When you live in unresolved anger, that means you try and dominate the conversation, not collaborate in the conversation. These kind of terrorists are very easy to find. They use the word I a lot. I. It means that they are the issue. They spend more of their time being the issue, and they try and walk around the frickin' planet. They're in such denial and delusion. They're out there trying to give value to people because they're not valuable. It means they overstate in their communication. These type of people talk way too much. And they're easy to pick up on. They're easy to see because they spend a lot of time using I, what I like, what I do. And these people are typically not skilled at content writing. And if you're going to write content, you're writing to your constituents. It's not about you, it's about them. Now, you can take your own personal references of what you've been through and be able to articulate some of those references on your timeline and lifeline and write about that, but you write about it in a you forum. You write about it for them. That's why people then say to me, it sounds like you were speaking exactly to me. I was. I've learned over a long career of how to be able to connect with the masses or a large percent of the masses by speaking directly at what their challenges are. And it's not about me. That's what that means. But when you make it about you, then you are the issue. And typically when you make it about you, then you make a culture mentor dependent, or you have to control the outcome, or you got to glue the team together, or you got to be the man or the woman. And unfortunately, in that kind of energy, you're not able to articulate your feelings. You come across very controlling, very demanding, very dictatorial, and you're not effective in that. Now, when you start to let go of the cause that creates the effect of that kind of identity and that kind of energy, as you begin to let go in a very quiet, relaxed body, as you are willing to take your ego off, surrender, let go of your addictions, resolve your unresolved anger, be in a place called conscious awareness, your message changes, your energy changes, your vibration changes, you become more attractive because you're able to get your point across. I watch people how they beat their teams up about going to an event. Now, events are extremely important, but you don't persuade people to like going to events by telling them they have to go to events. No one has to do anything in free enterprise. You want to be effective at your communication skills. We all know that events change people's lives. Even though I want people to attend my events, I know that not all of them will because they have obligations in life. Situations come up. They make excuses. They're not committed. Any multitude of reasons. And you don't want to prove people wrong or make them wrong. But you want to be able to connect and collaborate with people from your highest good, not your lowest control. Unfortunately, a lot of people live in control of their control, then they're out of control, out of their control, then they stay resentful in a repressed, depressed state. Now, there are people who are relatively productive in that energy, but they tend to hit a law of the lid that they can't exceed. Then they attract a reality to people in situations that fulfill their disappointment and their codependent issues. Myself, I'm a recovering addict codependent, and I had addictions well-versed in both those energies and entities, and I learned how to communicate with people a lot more effectively than I did early in my career. I was a totalitarian, controlling mentor who made a team mentor dependent on me. I reached a law of the lid that I seldom could exceed in a mid-5-figure income. And the bottom of my organization would tend to drop out. Now, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to these events, and you're able to come from compassion, empathy, you're able to come from awareness and understanding, you start to realize that human beings are predictable, and it's their predictability that becomes your power, and you're attempting to persuade people, not control them, and when your persuasion skills don't get a result, you don't take it personally, you're able to easily and effortlessly let people go, because you can still have a great message, and the message may fall on deaf ears because the person is not receptive. And if they're not receptive, it's not always about you. Sometimes they're not receptive because they aren't interested. And as you're able to let go easily and effortlessly of some of this kind of conditioned behavior, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety. As you're able to let go of your anxiety, your anger, your hate, your resentment, your guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and the overwhelmed feelings that comprise the neurological network of neurons that wire and fire that form your addictions, then you can move into recovery. Recovery is a one day at a time proposition, and it's a choice and a commitment to no longer be in that kind of overwhelmed state. When you live in an overwhelmed, repressed state, it's very challenging to get your point across, because you're so overwhelmed about the outcome. You have stories about the outcome. You put more energy into failing than you put energy into learning the skills. It is not amazing, it doesn't amaze me, it's predictable that most of society, especially the new business owner, has so much anxiety about what someone's going to think about them. They don't want to put themselves out there. They don't want to make a mistake, get in trouble, and most importantly, they do not want to fail. What most people fail to understand by having anxiety about failing is they're failing by not engaging. Every day that you let click off your lifeline, the 86,400 seconds, the 1,440 minutes that you don't have at your advantage, then you are losing your commodity. Time is a commodity. Use it wisely instead of burning it up like most people do. And if you don't want to tiptoe quietly through life and arrive at your grave safely, then be productive rather than busy. Unfortunately, many people are busy and they're not very productive. This is why conversation in 30 seconds or less, asking questions in less than 30 seconds, answering questions in 30 seconds, being able to deliver a point in 30 seconds. See how, it's not how quick you are, it becomes how effective you are. It's not how fast you are, it's how effective you are in dedicated blocks of time. You should have clearly defined goals in dedicated blocks of time. You should have clearly defined goals in 90-day increments, 1-month increments, 1-week increments, 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second. And as you start to monitor time and result, then time has a different meaning. Time has very little to no meaning when it's not a commodity. Time is an asset, it's not a liability. Many people will say there's not enough time in the day. Well, that's because you're not effective with your time. That's because you're overwhelmed. And you cannot get your point across in 30 seconds or less when you are overwhelmed. When you have a tendency and you have an addiction to talking and you have to be able to explain, validate, and justify, understand that you're not going to be very effective because people are going to check out on you. When you TTM, talk too much, skills that you can learn tonight, you can take to the next level. When someone asks you a question, answer it. Start to time yourself. Answer a question in less than 30 seconds. When you ask a question, ask the question. Don't tell a story before the question or mid-question. When someone asks you a question, become a lot more aware that you're not answering it. Catch yourself. Be aware of the word choices you use. Monitor some of the words you use that are non-committal, that aren't really words, they're sounds. Watch how frequently people say, "I don't know," at the end of a question. Watch how many people tell you their whole childhood was a blur. They don't have a memory. Watch how many people say, "This always happens to me. I always struggle. I'm always late." That's their identity. Watch how many people communicate like that. Be attentive. Be a student. Be a producer. Be an entrepreneur. Be a change agent. Be an agent of change. Be the person that people are looking for. Be the leader that people are looking for. Really start to take yourself and your game to the next level. Be committed. Not only committed, but you want to be able to take yourself to a status of professional. That's the inner game. Master your emotions. Master the inner game. Not only do you want to be a student, but you want to be a student who's productive. You want to be a productive student who creates results on command. When you're able to be that person, then you're no longer the anxiety that you used to reside in. You're not overwhelmed. You're not emotionally addicted. You're not an underachiever, an under-earner. You're someone who starts to become a person of influence and affluence. When you become that person, not only does your game change, but who begins to show up in your life changes. The parking spaces show up, situations show up in the mail, you get phone calls from precarious situations, you get messages that are unique and interesting only to you. I mean, you'll start to see a whole different situation begin to show up in your reality. And when you're that, when that starts to happen, your leads change. And this is not only phenomenal, this becomes a phenom when this starts to happen. It is explained. Many people, I can't explain it. If you can't explain it, then you can't articulate it. Unfortunately, many people say that. It just happened. Well, it didn't just happen. There's science to the transformation. The more you understand mind-body connections, the more you understand why you do what you do, the more you understand how predictable people are, the more you become a student of people and understand your product as people, then you will become a master of mastering your emotions. As you master your emotions, you're no longer in anxiety. You're living in awareness. You're living in truth. You're living in trust. You're able to trust your feelings. You can deliver the content. You can sit down and type on command. You're no longer the overwhelmed, emotionally addicted person in an outer body experience. You are you, and you are free. Now, for those of you who connected with some of my content tonight, this call has officially been recorded. It will be available tomorrow on Pod-O-Matic at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific. All of my calls have been recorded for the last several years. They're available on Pod-O-Matic, and you can also find them in recorded calls on my website at www.goldenmastermind.com. Now, for you that are on the line tonight and you've never experienced a 15-minute call, or it's been a long time since you've had a 15-minute call with me, and you're serious, not curious, you're considering hiring me, or you're at least have a level of interest or intrigue, you want to find out more about what I can assist you with to let go of the anxiety that keeps you avoiding failing. Unfortunately, that's the number one statement that people use when it comes to anxiety. I don't want to fail. If you find yourself in that category and you're seeking some immediate relief, you can contact me at 209-932-0227 or go to Facebook, send me a message with your phone number, and be specific on what you want me to assist you with. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I've been able to deliver this call in 1 hour or less, available on podcast on Pod-O-Matic tomorrow. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great evening. I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts from 9 until 4 this Saturday at the Hilton at Logan Airport. Look forward to connecting with you. Jeffrey Combs, have a great evening, everyone.